broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
There's a great sense of satisfaction and relief.
This idea of disposing the body within 24 hours.
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office and laugh because people are stupid.
There's a great sense of satisfaction.
He claimed that he was going to cook the cat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass every night to places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, they won't, and they shan't. And we were at the Saturday night, we were at the World Radio Summit, Is Talent Necessary? Seminar.
Hey. What is that about?
Well, it actually was a very cool panel that I was on with Rick Dees, and I was on it with Dr. Drew, and I was on it with Big Boy from Power 106 here in Los Angeles, and some other chaps, good guys, Randy Lane, former program director here in L.A., and it was an interesting panel because it was about, basically, do we need talent in radio anymore? The question is a weird one, you know.
Yeah, but what they talk about, need talent.
Well, it was a cleverly worded question that I think probably didn't get what they wanted. You know, I think that where they wanted to go was this: where are we going to develop the new radio talent? And I just had a good time because Rick Dees is a guy who's known to a national audience, and Rick's had his ups, he's had his downs, he's been all around. He's a nice guy, man. And one of the things he said to me. You know me, man. If anybody's ever heard any of my pre-show or my post-show comments here on the video feed, by the way, we're on Phil TV in high-definition television, and if you will go to our website tonight or any night, you can pick up our best of Phil Hendry CDs, you get our shot glass, you can get our merchandise and our Phil Hendry Show t-shirts, and I don't feel that bad talking about it because Dees at this thing was throwing t-shirts out into the crowd. Anyway.
You're throwing away Rick Dees t-shirts? You get me one?
No, I didn't get you one. But he said, Phil, now, don't be down on management, man. Don't beat up on management because those guys, they got their hands full with the talent. And I learned, we can all be big heroes and say, boy, these guys are screwing us. But you know something? The guy was right, man. Don't be so freaking negative on the cats that, are paying the bills because whether they're right or whether they're wrong, they're struggling along, and 9 times out of 10, maybe you can help them. If you can't, then, you move on. But don't, so I thought it was pretty interesting. And then Big Boy, same thing, And there's a guy, and when they call him Big Boy, I ain't kidding, a lot of you guys don't know that Big Boy was 300 pounds at one time, and this cat was down to, he's skinnier than me.
Man, wow. Are you kidding me, man? Big Boy now, you're the Big Boy.
Now I'm Big Boy, yeah. But anyway, he said, always treat people good, always be a good person. He said, because you know something? He said that if I had not been a good person, when I got the call to come in and do an air shift, I got that call because the Baker boys who were doing the morning show at the time, they recommended that they call me. And if I hadn't been a good guy, they never would have recommended me for the gig, And I heard that, and I think I learned more than the people that were in the audience to hear the panel,
Well, you probably taughted them something, too.
Taughted? But, remind me, man, to send you back to school, okay?
Or teached.
Teached, yeah. I don't know, whatever, I'm not even interested, because I had more fun at this panel listening to my fellow, panel type guys. And Dr. Drew, the thing that I liked about him is that he's rich. Now then.
Hey.
So I want to learn how he did that, man. Dr. Drew, that cat is kicking ass, man. That guy's got a production company. He's got more things going on. That dude is definitely, he's smart, man. He's smart. And he said, I know a lot of people say, is radio going away? Can you believe that people are having this conversation, folks? Is radio going away? Can you believe that people are in our business? And of course, and Dr. Drew there, Drew Pinsky, saying, no, it ain't going away.
He's just a doctor, man. What do you know about it?
Well, he's been around 20 plus years in the business. They asked each one of us how many years, And the only guy that had more years than me was Deez. And
how many years did he have? Did anybody ask him how many specific years?
I'm not going to say. Let me just say that me and Rick had the most years, and then I'll tell you, it was me and Rick, and then I think it was like Dr. Drew was next, and then Big Boy, 17 years, I think he said he's been over there. Only one gig. And anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I was very, very grateful that I was invited. If you guys want to see, they actually have the interview, I think, posted on the website of World Radio Summit. You can go check it out, but it was a very illuminating experience for me. And like I say, if Deez is there throwing his T-shirts to the crowd, well, then I can tell you that we have our T-shirts available at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We gave one away, though, today. We gave away a T-shirt on Twitter to a listener, a cat who came up with the correct answer to this question. What Henny Youngman famous line were also the last words spoken by Osama bin Laden?
I don't know who Henny Youngman is.
Yeah, I don't need that. That's not fair to like the young people.
Well, it's pretty famous, man. It's pretty famous. What Henny Youngman famous line were also the last words spoken by Osama bin Laden? I'll give you a chance to think about that. World famous Phil Henry Show, but our website again, philhenryshow.com. So, bin Laden's death, a good day for America. We were sitting here in the studio last night, and I saw, watching Fox and CNN, generally I have it on both the big news channels, and I saw this little cry-on that said, President to speak soon, and I turned the sound up and said, what the hell is this? You know, I was just doing some work here, answering email, and, oh, the president's going to speak soon, president's going to speak soon. He's got some stuff, what's going on? And the next thing you know, boom, it pops up there, Osama bin Laden is dead. And I'm like, are you got to be putting me on, man?
I know, man, I've the same thing I thought. That they'd never get this guy. And I seen that, and I knew that had to be true, you know. But I couldn't, you know.
Yeah, well, when I saw that, I thought there was definitely a joke. I thought it was probably Comedy Central or something, you know.
Well, what channel were you watching?
I don't know. I just saw it say Bin Laden is dead, and I go, yeah, that's probably Comedy Central.
Were you watching Comedy Central?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I thought maybe it was.
Well, what, you don't think so? Did somebody change the channel?
Yeah, well, how do you know it's Comedy Central, man, if you're not watching Comedy Central?
Because I thought maybe the Comedy Central would take did it over or something.
Comedy Central took over what? Nonetheless, you finally believe it?
No, I thought it was Comedy Central. And then I went on and I went over to Bloomberg Report. And then it said it.
Bloomberg Report. Boy, you...
Well, I'm not watching the news.
Anyway, so where'd you see it, Robert?
That's all like I've seen or something like that.
Yeah, me too. I saw it on CNN, and then I saw it on Fox, and then Bloomberg Report. Anyway, I looked at that, and I said, you got to be putting me on. And then I heard that it was done by Americans, and then I heard that they extracted the body. In other words, just like I said at the beginning of last hour, everything that you would really want to have happen, with the exception of maybe taking the guy alive, but, you know, a lot of people have been talking to me, including Rance. What do you guys think about taking him alive?
What do you mean? Did they take him alive?
No. What do you think about it?
Oh, that would have been great to waterboard him.
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I don't think that would take him alive, man. That means now we got to take his ass to Gitmo? No way, no way, no way.
And that would have been bitching to waterboard him.
You know what would have happened, man? We would have waterboarded that piece of crap, and somebody would have been squirting tears for that guy. Just like these cats... Michael Moore is such an exhibitionist and such an egotistical narcissist that with the focus off of him, you know, and this is what I mean when we talk about locking arms and marching over the soft heads of these people that want to grab us by the short and blankety blanks and pull us into the past like a Michael Moore. That guy is such a narcissist that it's got to be about him morning, noon, and night. And so on his Twitter feed, because everybody was paying attention to the SEALs, everybody was paying attention to our military, everybody was paying attention to John Brennan, who was the counterterrorism advisor, who gave a fantastic press conference this morning. I don't know if you guys saw it or not.
I saw part of it, yeah.
Well, I thought it was fantastic. He gave us a tremendous look inside the what they call the Situation Room. Is that what they call it? Or is that what CNN calls it?
That's what CNN calls their news show.
Well, whatever the hell they call a room that the president's in. And he was very, very descriptive. They said, well, could you give us an idea? He said, minutes were like hours. He said, minutes were like days, I think he said. They just dragged on. He said, when we heard that that first chopper was down, the tension in that room was so thick and it was so palpable. And he said the president didn't relax until they finally confirmed. First of all, they confirmed the identity of Geronimo. That was the code name.
What do they call him?
Geronimo.
They're going to get in trouble with the Indians and everything. That's pretty funny.
Shut up, man.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they'll get in, the Native Americans will be mad.
Anyway, bud, you're full of crap. So as soon as they confirmed that they had Geronimo, then they had the extraction of Geronimo's, then they killed his ass, and then they extracted his body. Now, I wonder if we're going to see any of this. Do you think we'll actually see this?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it looked to me, when I saw those photographs from the Situation Room, from the area where the president and his advisors were watching this thing, it looked to me like they were watching a video of something.
Yeah, the guy probably had a video camera on his helmet.
Whatever, bud. We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know, man.
Dude, what are they what are they looking at?
Well, there's no question there might have been some kind of a camera that allowed the people there in the White House in the office wing of the White House to look at what was going on. But my question is, I wonder if we're ever going to see this stuff,
Oh, yeah. Man, I don't know, man. Have we ever seen any other stuff?
Yeah, we did part of the time.
Well, we did see, like, the smart bomb stuff from the Gulf, but we've never seen any heavy-ass stuff, man. We still haven't seen, except for individual photographs of how they got, like, that dude. Remember that? Who was the Al-Qaeda guy in Iraq? That real piece of crap.
Oh, yeah, the guy that cut people's head off.
Exactly. When they dropped a freaking bunker buster on his ass, that was the greatest thing in the world. And they said that the last thing that piece of garbage saw, and the last thing that Bin Laden saw, and this is the thing that makes me feel better than anything, the last thing both of those guys saw was an American soldier pointing a weapon at them. And in the case of that guy that got the bunker buster on his ass, they didn't have to shoot him because he was already in about five different pieces, but I think the head was still alive,
What are you talking about?
He was. The guy was staring. They say he tried to roll off of the cot or something.
Was it the head?
No, it wasn't just a head, but I mean, the guy was pretty messed up. So he tried to get away, but he couldn't move, and he was dead. So but the last thing he saw, and the reason why he tried to get away, he's looking at American soldiers staring down at him, probably smiling at him like, hey, how you doing, man? Good morning, sunshine. Same thing with that guy, Hussein, and the same thing with good old Bin, man. Last thing he saw was a Yank. Oh, yeah. That's right, man.
Long arm of the Yank, man.
That's the long arm of the Yank. It's going to yank it. All right, we'll be back with more of this here on the Phil Henry Show. Osama bin Laden is dead, and he's getting deader by the second. He's dead, and he's turned into fish food now. And we'll have other stories, too. Facebook being used in divorce cases. One lawyer says 90% of her cases involve social media. Are you ready for that one? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And I want to get to a little bit of this audio that perhaps we haven't played. John Brennan, I thought, John Brennan gave a pretty good, I thought it was a pretty good press conference today. And it was as I said, it was very descriptive of what was happening inside the Situation Room that those guys were parked in. Here is, buried at Sears, John Brennan. I don't understand how you did this, man. I really don't. I don't know what this is about, man. Oh, here. John Brennan talking about bin Laden being dead. Counterterrorism advisor. He spoke to reporters today. He describes bin Laden's last moments before being killed.
He was engaged in a firefight with those that entered the area of the house that he was in. And whether or not he got off any rounds, I quite frankly don't know. Here is bin Laden, who has been calling for these attacks, living in this million-dollar-plus compound, living in an area that is far removed from the front, hiding behind women who were put in front of him as a shield. I think it really just speaks to just how false his narrative has been over the years. And so, again, looking at what bin Laden was doing, hiding there while he's putting other people out there to carry out attacks, again, just speaks to, I think, the nature of the individual he was.
That's a great, great series of comments. How false his narrative has been over the years. There he is at the very bitter end, hiding behind a woman. It was his wife, and perhaps she put herself in front of him. But the fact is, bin Laden should have known that this day was going to come. He should have known that his family would be compromised if and when. And it should have been, in his mind, when. How that guy would have his family around him. Children were there. I mean, you know, Moore, you and Penn Jillette and the rest of you fat asses, and your and talk about a predictable narrative. When are you guys ever going to see the nature of the individual, of the person, of the being, of the society, of the culture, of the system of thought, of the belief, of the religion that we're up against? It's this entity called bad, no good, no. You know, these are bad people, man. When are you ever going to see that? All cats like you can do is sit on your ever-widening bratwurst-packed ass and find fault with a country that there's none better. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff we should get around to correcting. I agree with you, man. But you're like the guy that, you know, is sitting down. First of all, you're a fat ass, Moore. You can relate to this. You're like some big fat slob, which is what you are, sitting down to the most perfectly barbecued steak that you could ever possibly imagine, and you're bitching about the fact that, you know, the garlic bread is a little bit cooled off. I mean, that's what you do. So if one of these days you and people like you could open your eyes and you would look and you would see the nature of what it is we're up against, and cats like you think there's some magic wand that we can wave over a guy like bin Laden and make him a good guy, or there's a magic wand that we can wave and deal with people that hide behind women, deal with people that have children around, deal with people that are will do anything and everything to protect themselves, including live in a compound, so to speak, with women and children. What you guys do is you make excuses. Well, isn't the guy, doesn't he have the right to live with his family? Doesn't he have a right to have his wife? If you're a man, if you're any kind of a man, and you know there's a bounty on your head, and you know that the Americans want you, and they want you real bad, and you know that lieutenants of yours have been killed, you know that supporters of yours have been killed, you know that your organization has been decimated, you know that you are in a fight for your life, you're a fugitive, and you are there with your wife and your children, and don't give me this bull crap like it's some TV movie where they didn't want to leave me, they wanted to stay by my side, my ass. And you are there with a wife and children, and you're no better than that other scumbag. Who was that guy down in Texas?
What? What are you talking about?
The guy in, what is it, Waco?
Yeah, David Koresh.
No better than that guy. That scumbag hid behind women, too. You know, that scumbag hid behind women, too. He could have sent them out of that compound. He could have sent those kids out of there. They didn't have to die. You don't give me this bull crap about how they didn't want to leave. You kick their ass out the front door, or you tell the cops they don't want to leave. Somebody come in and get them. Something. So that was a very good series of comments that Mr. Brennan gave. I would love to play a few more of those. We do have some comments from him in terms of the buried at sea thing. He did not want to reveal details about what types of visuals we had or what type of feeds that were coming in, but he said that they did have the ability to actually track it on an ongoing basis. Typically, members of the Navy SEAL team that conducted the operation wear helmet cameras to transmit sound and video to their operations centers, and that data can be fed live to the White House and the Pentagon. So that's what they had. They had helmet cameras.
Yeah, like a helmet cam?
Yeah, that's what I said, bud. A helmet. God, man.
What do you think he said?
A helmet cam.
Yes, a helmet cam.
Like in football.
Right, like in football, only more... Like in football, only we ain't playing around. So there you go. All right, coming up, we have more on this and other stories. The 10 most useless college majors, plus Facebook is a place where more and more divorce lawyers find themselves mucking about. And details of Quentin Tarantino's next film are leaked. Sounds like a really good movie. It's got our favorite actor from Inglourious Basterds in it, too, at least mine. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com for our archives, uncensored HDTV merchandise. It's all there, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that goes where other talk shows wish they could, but it can't. Walking across the soft head of liberals, progressives, the secular humanists and all that, man. This is a radio show that, well, it's a radio show. Unlike anything else on the radio, this is a radio show. All the other things you hear on the radio is just noise coming out of your radio. This here is a radio show. Now,
but she's ready to show anybody else.
Whatever that means. Here's the thing. The other big topic was they buried his ass at sea. Big deal. So they threw his ass in, and that's where that's at, and that's the way it's going to be. What else were they going to do with his body? Were they going to prop it up and take pictures of it? Were they going to have a guided tour so you could people walk through? They used to do that back in the 30s. They'd have a guy on a slab, and people could go through for a nickel. That's what they did to John Dillinger. They laid his ass out on a slab, and people in the town could come through and look at his body. They did that with Bonnie and Clyde. They laid him out on a slab, and people were able to go and look and see the bodies. Well, we don't do that anymore. And quite frankly, my understanding is Bin Laden's body is in no real shape to just be viewed. I think half of his face is missing. He's probably got brains running out one side. Who knows? You know, it's probably not a very pleasant sight. And so what they've decided to do is they decided to wrap his ass up, give him the Muslim blessing, and throw his ass into the ocean for crab meat, crab bait, you know. Now, some people thought, and my initial reaction was, that's going to suck because now you're going to have conspiracy theorists. And I think that a lot of people, especially the initial reaction that I saw was one of just, wow, do you realize what's going to happen? But the more I heard the reasoning, and I heard Colin Powell today interviewed, and he said, believe me when I tell you, before this is over with, there's not going to be any doubt that this was Osama bin Laden's body. Now, some people will never be happy. Some people, even if you showed them the body, would say it was a fake body. They'd say it was a body double. They'd say that it isn't the real guy, that the real Osama bin Laden, just like the real Jim Morrison, the real Elvis Presley, the real Amelia Earhart, the real John Kennedy, and the real whoever, all those guys that died, you know, working for Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that got croaked when they worked for Bill Clinton, but oh no, he's someplace else. You know, all those guys are in the same room playing gin rummy. So some people are just going to be mentally disturbed that way. Why did they do this? Well, there was a Muslim tradition that called for the burial of the body within 24 hours. Why were we sensitive to that? Well, I think that's got President Obama's signature all over it. I think this is the kind of president that he wants to be. And I think that this is the kind of America that he wants to express to the world. And okay, or fine, I don't really care personally, so long as we do not have to deal with any more truther or birther stuff. Now, before the show...
You're talking about him before the show. Nobody's going to believe it anyway.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, no, he meant that you said that nobody's into birther stuff.
No, that's what I was going to say. Since 9/11, we've been up to our eyeballs in birthers, truthers, yo mamas, and everything. And I think we've gotten, this is my read on this, and I think I'm right. I think we've gotten a little hipper than we were back in those days. And I think we now look at those people for what they are. They are opportunistic. They want to sell books. They want to sell CDs. They don't really have anything to say. They're not very intellectually honest. In fact, they're dishonest. They are people that eventually wind up infighting with each other because there's a certain group of them that really do want the truth. And when they find the truth, they split from the rest of them. The rest of them call them, you know, sellouts and sheep and all those code words that they like to use there in the conspiracy world. And if you believe the government, you're a sheep. All right. But I don't think that we're in any mood for you jackasses anymore. And here's what I mean by that. If you doubt that Osama bin Laden is dead, then you better go out and find your own evidence and not bore us any longer with your questions, because your questions are not honest. And even if we came up with all the greatest answers in the world, you still aren't going to believe them. Take a look at the 9/11 truth bastards. You could give them all the answers in the world. You could give them the science which they've been given, all the straight answers which they've been given, all of the logical conclusions which they've been given, and even point out to them where their own analysis has been laughably bad, which has been done, and they still ain't going to believe you. Why? Because they got a worldview, man, that they're addicted to, and that is what makes their little world go around. So fine. So as far as this guy bin Laden, it wouldn't matter if we had the body or not. Did we need it? No. Did we get the DNA, make the DNA match? Yes. And if bin Laden was not captured and killed, don't you think it would be a logical thing for bin Laden himself to go on TV and say, "Hi, they didn't get me. It's bullcrap." And then enters the next theory that was formulated by the 9/11 truthers, just in case that happened, which is we kill bin Laden, and and that's the end of that. Then the truthers say this: he's in hiding. He works for the CIA anyway. Or if bin Laden said, "Hi, it's me," he's in cahoots with the CIA anyway. So there's no answer to this question, and I think they did the right thing, dropped his ass in a drink. But it got some people kind of freaking there for a while. Why were we talking about this?
I don't know.
Was there? Oh, I know. Because we had some more audio to play for you. Ha, 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 ha. Here is John Brennan at his press conference today, at the press conference that John Brennan gave with the assembled media on the burial at sea.
The disposal of the burial of bin Laden's remains was done in strict conformance with Islamic precepts and practices. It was prepared in accordance with the Islamic requirements. We early on made provisions for that type of burial, and we wanted to make sure that it was going to be done, again, in strict conformance. So it was taken care of in the appropriate way. I'm not going to go into details about sort of the where, but that burial has taken place. It took place earlier today.
Another one.
There is the requirement in Islamic law that an individual be buried within 24 hours. Went inside of Pakistan, carried out the operation. He was killed. He was removed from Pakistan. There were certain steps that had to be taken because of the nature of the operation. We wanted to make sure we were able to do that in the time period allotted for it. Going to another country, making those arrangements, requirements, would have exceeded that time period in our view. And so therefore we thought that the best way to ensure that his body was given an appropriate Islamic burial was to take those actions that would allow us to do that burial at sea.
So they took a lot of time with this burial at sea for a Muslim, and I got to say that that's got to be President Obama's signature. That's his stamp on that. Okay, you know, I'll give it to the president, or, you know. Now, let's talk about Obama, man. Because this is a very important topic. I'm a conservative. I'm not an idiot. I'm a conservative. I'm not self-deluded. I'm a conservative. I'm not inflexible. And I'm not someone that wants to stay in fantasy land. Okay? I mean, other people can be stupid if they want to. That ain't me. And it doesn't mean that I'm less of a conservative when I look at Obama and I say the following thing. That guy just earned his commander-in-chief stripes. Don't even worry about it. If you don't think so, you better get your head straight, because yes, he did. Because what you think or what I think or what the rest of the conservative movement may think or Republicans doesn't make any difference. The country believes that Obama is now the commander-in-chief. And if you want to be honest about it, which is what I'm hoping we can be here, He earned his commander-in-chief stripes with flying colors. Now, you know as well as I do that this guy came into the presidency without too much respect in terms of that aspect of the job, commander-in-chief. In fact, he came into the presidency without too much respect at all about anything. There was a great deal said about his lack of military experience. Now, this is one of the all-time fallacies when it comes to presidents. I know this because I'm a student of history, and I'm also a student of the presidency. And we've had many presidents that were not military veterans, combat veterans, or veterans of any military service, and yet made perfectly fine presidents and perfectly fine commanders-in-chief. So this was always a bunch of hooey. But how is Bin Laden going to, or excuse me, how is Osama?
You're going to blow it, man. Everybody's doing the same thing, and you're doing it too.
Yeah, man, why don't you concentrate, man? Bear down.
Bear down? I had to belt you for saying that.
Come on, man.
All right, I'm sorry. I was just talking to the guys at the late hour, you know.
Yeah, well, man, this is your airship, man.
All right, sorry. I mean Obama. Barack Obama.
Damn, it's too late now.
That's right, it's too late now. Somebody thinks I'm talking about Osama bin Laden, President of the United States. Is that it? Barack Obama is the commander-in-chief by virtue of this operation today. And what do I mean? Of course, he was always the commander-in-chief. There's no, you know. But in the minds of the American people, this was a move, as John Brennan said, and I think that it can be backed up as such, a gutsy move. And what did he mean by gutsy? He meant the following thing. There were a million and one things that could have gone wrong. And I keep talking about the desert of Iran in 1980. Many of you are too young to even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. But when the American diplomats in Tehran were taken hostage and they were held for well over a year by Iranian militants in the U.S. Embassy, they had guns put to their heads. There were mock executions. I mean, this was a real scum that held these people hostage. The United States mounted a rescue effort, and I think that it was probably modeled on the fact that a few years before the Israelis had rescued their citizens, passengers of an Air France jet from Entebbe Airport in Uganda. The Israeli forces, the IDF guys, went down in a couple of troop transports. They had with them as well a limousine that was made up to look like Idi Amin, who was the strongman of Uganda at the time. They also had jeeps with machine guns mounted. And, of course, the soldiers themselves were experienced special forces soldiers of the Israeli army. And as these cargo and these large transports landed, out came this limousine flying the flag of Uganda. And it was the Ugandan soldiers who saw this limousine, familiar with the fact that Idi Amin would land at Entebbe Airport at the weirdest times of day, the day or night. So they were always used to seeing him show up just any time. But in this limousine, on this particular night, it was not Idi Amin. They were Special Forces Israeli soldiers, one of whom was dressed exactly like Idi Amin would be. He was in a military uniform, wearing the military epaulets and the jacket. He was wearing a black ski mask. The car was dark. And as they pulled up and gave a salute, the Ugandan soldiers gave a salute to the limousine as it pulled up. They opened fire on these Ugandan soldiers and thus began one of the most famous rescue operations in history, the raid on Entebbe. And this, I'm sure, was in the mind of Jimmy Carter the night that he first sat down with his security advisors and they advised some kind of a rescue mission. The one that we mounted for the hostages in Tehran was a disaster. It was a disaster. It was a human disaster. It was a, you name it, a political disaster for Carter. It was the, but out of the ashes of that came Delta Force. And we realized after that we needed a special forces kind of a soldier who trained in this kind of operation morning, noon, and night. This is all he ever did. This is all he ever thought about. This is all he ever, he ate, slept, and crapped this kind of stuff. And when we tapped him on the shoulder and said, okay, Charlie, time for you to go, they sprung into action, and this is what they do. We didn't have that. We had Green Berets, who were jungle fighters, and they were combat soldiers, and they weren't special forces guys. So, and we'd had commandos. We'd had Merrill's Marauders. We'd had all manner of different kinds. We had special forces kinds of soldiers that went in and rescued POWs in World War II. And we had the airborne guys, 101st, the 82nd. They called these guys the Army of One. Each individual soldier was trained to just go into attack, even if he was by himself. But we never had guys that were trained to scale buildings and go through windows, blow people away and extract hostages or rescue people, or for that matter, take out somebody. And Delta Force came of that disaster in the desert in Iran. So that's the story of that, man. Where was I going?
I don't know. It's pretty bitching, though. Do they got no book about that or anything like that?
They might have a book. Do they have a book about that, Robert?
I'm going to look it up, man. I don't know.
They have a book about the aborted rescue operation, 1980, the spring of 1980. It was horrible, and there were terrible dust storms, and the choppers, one of them crashed into the other. It burst into flames. The soldiers were killed. The remains of our soldiers were desecrated by the Iranians. I mean, this is not even a world that we operate in. And the other soldiers that survived got into the chopper and got the hell out of there. They had to abort the mission. I mean, it was just horrendous. And that was the end for Jimmy Carter. That was the bitter end. There was no way he would ever be president for a second term. All right, 877-876-PHIL. 10 most useless college majors coming up. And Facebook. And Michael Moore. What was he upset about? What a drag this cat is, man. We'll talk about it when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com for a backstage pass, live streaming video, as well as our merchandise, as well as our podcast, as well as the largest archive of any single radio show in the world, PhilHenryShow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, I just want to say one thing. There was a story here about Obama's poll numbers, and it's something along the lines of, is the bounce going to be short-lived? Meaning the bounce that he gets in the polls. The Bin Laden bounce may be short-lived. Now, I don't know about poll bounces, but this is what I was trying to say, and I didn't do it very well. This has Obama now has some real credibility. Not that he should ever have had to have proven this, because the cat was elected president, I suppose. But in the minds of a lot of Americans, you know, every president has to go through his baptism of fire somewhere along the line. Joe Biden, of course, said, "You mark my words." Within 1 year, you know, Joe, thank goodness somebody put a muzzle on your ass. But, frankly, this wasn't something that anybody decided they would do to test Obama. This was just it was a moment. And, you know, he rose to the occasion. So the whole point that I'm trying to make here is the guy is now more substantial. Don't worry about it. Now, the economy, important, yes. But no one sees this dude now as someone that's on somebody else's leash. No one sees this guy now as someone that people are leading around by the nose. This guy made a call, one of the biggest in the history of this country, in protecting this country, to be honest with you, and it was the right call, and you cannot deny that. You can be stupid and deny it. You can dislike Obama so much that you want to discount it, but that's your problem, not Obama's. So think about that one. All right. Facebook being used in divorce cases. One lawyer says 90% of her cases involve social media. She says this is the greatest thing that's happened to me since the ballpoint pen. Facebook and other social media sites. She didn't say that. I added that, but it seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Facebook and other social media sites are increasingly being used in divorce cases as users often post pictures and information about themselves online. That can easily be used during divorce proceedings. What an idiot. In fact, one St. Petersburg attorney, Karen Constantine, says Facebook and social media are used in 90% of all her divorce cases. St. Petersburg attorney Karen Constantine.
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office and laugh because people are stupid. They put things out there on the internet that can last forever.
Everything from
clients coming in with pictures of the opposing party doing a keg stand with high schoolers.
What?
And shouldn't be to teenagers drinking alcohol served by a parent who shouldn't be, to a picture of a husband at a nightclub dancing with a babysitter. I would say about 90% of my current divorce cases have some type of Facebook involvement.
All right, well, I was going to read about Michael Moore, but you know what? I want to end this show on a high note, and Michael, he's going to be okay, man. He's got his Twitter feed. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is tonight it's Don Naylor. Thank you, Don. And Dan Northcraft is our associate producer. PhilHenryShow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs.
Phil Henry.